Hi. You may not have heard from me in a while. My name is Sheila Dean, and I'm a podcaster who's been on a hiatus for at least a season. And part of the hiatus has been in search of better radio digs, more income for what I do. And so thankfully, I've been able to find something that's working out and getting some stuff together that has more money involved so I can sustain my media activism and my brand of media activism. So I'm basically shoveling everything over that I had with Waking Up Orwell because I think the goal was achieved. There's probably daily news now that's unavoidable. Flying death robots kind of sent it over the rails. You know, we're in a new place where robots can watch everything you do, whether it's online, whether it's on cameras, Morris, lots of biometric information going out there. So there's just a ton of surveillance. That stuff is so obvious that we can't really get away from it. You know, where there was one camera on a stick, now there's four in every direction. There's just ridiculous amounts of surveillance. Why all of a sudden they must have so much surveillance is very odd to me. But I would say that it's more or less has just completely exploded within a year's time. I would say demarcations of 2010... summer of 2010 to summer of 2011, it was getting bad. Now it's terrible. And, you know, we're just at a place where we're not really going backward. We're not going to go back and go get those civil liberties. We're in a place where Godzilla government has arrived, and this is what you get to live with. So I'm not saying we're boxing up Waking Up Orwell and shoving it in a corner. I'm saying Godzilla government is really here, and that's what we're living with. And it's much broader than just massive panoptic surveillance. You know, I'm going to delegate that to Mothra now, because the whole drone lasers from the sky seems more like that sort of archetype. But, you know, in the event that something like that happens, you know, Godzilla government will feature it because it's chaotic. So what I wanted to talk today about was the Supreme Court decision to continue or discontinue chunks of the SB 1070 law in Arizona. So this was a federal sifting of this law, of the parts that they wanted to keep over what is good or bad to keep or not to keep. And the one part, of course, that they had to hang on to was the your papers, please, portion. It's totalitarianism. Whether it's 1942 brand totalitarianism, whether it's Pinochet brand, whether it's 1986, whether it's Pol Pot, you know, it doesn't matter. Totalitarianism has the same direction. It has the same energy. And there's a standard for you, and then there's no standard for me. I have all the control, you have no control. You do what I say, or you die, or some sort of fate awaits you, which is very oppressive, and you have no control, or less control over your life and what happens to you as a citizen. And the problem with the law like this is that the person who is the immigrant or the wayfarer or the wanderer becomes, you know, a kind of target for our systems. Our jails are pretty bad. And I've been reading up on a lot of stuff about what happens in our jails and our prison system. There's solitary confinement, there is lots of unchecked prison rape and sexual assault, and all of that stuff is like, yeah, that all happens, and we're kind of okay with it. I don't necessarily agree with those assessments because those are terrible human rights, you know, bars that are way, way lower than they should be. You know, I think that rape in any construct is bad. But, you know, it shouldn't be an automatic sentenced add-on, an extra, like, deleterious bonus for you maybe doing something against society. Like, maybe you stole something. Grand Theft Auto. Let's take that one. You know, it's larceny. It's mass larceny. But I don't think Bernie Madoff is in any danger of being raped. If I tried to do what Bernie Madoff did, I would probably be in some sordid trouble in our prisons. That's the difference. So there's a weirdness in our society that continues. There must be this other. And the other keeps changing. They call the jails houses of the new Jim Crow laws. For young black men, they're funneled and pipelined into the jails and to the prison systems so that there can be terribly cost-efficient labor contracted by way of the public-private state, which is not a good scene. They found another source of labor, an indefinite detention, and that's immigrant detention. And if they're not going to deport you, they can just hang on to you for a while and make you work for a long time. And that's no good either. So you don't want to be stuck in an American prison system, and your family is stuck also, perhaps children being raised in playgrounds on an immigrant detention center. And this is a sad reality of what's happening here in America. Someone needs to say something. You just can't let it go. Because what happens is, this is a papers please law, which means that Joe Bob sees you walk into a diner. Joe Bob decides you're too brown for him. Joe Bob picks up the telephone and calls his local police department. The popo show up. That guy over there looks like he might be an illegal. So let's go over there and talk to that person. The person cannot justify beyond shadow of a doubt that they are an American citizen or not, and they may find themselves in a desperate situation shortly because they don't have a passport or they don't have whatever they need. You know, and these times are very precarious for people who are traveling, especially coming back from Mexico. If you're a citizen, and you may be of Mexican-American descent, you come back to the border, you have your nice birth certificate and your license where you live with the printed on the front of the card. It says shows you you can drive and you live there. It's not good enough anymore to get back in your country. So what they have done is they have asked people who are coming back into this country, if they cannot substantiate the fact that they are citizens while arriving back at the border, to revoke their citizenship. They sign right here, dot, 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 scribble, scratch, and, you know, you must say, sign this declaration that you are not a citizen and revoke your citizenship before we will allow you to even talk to a lawyer in your own home country. So there's some issues that are being practiced at the border and are being mishandled by ICE, because those people go directly into the prison system. And that's going to create labor something somewhere for somebody. And if not, you know, we've got citizens who are being ejected back into Mexico, and they're not Mexicans, they're Americans. Or they're being ejected back into Canada. They're not Canadians, they're Americans. You know, or they're being ejected clear across the pond or the ocean or back to India or where they're not supposed to be because they're actually Americans. And, you know, immigration is another way for the prison system to stay dominant in a flagging marketplace, because states are getting the word that privatized prisons are pretty bad, and maybe they don't want to keep people in that are citizens so long, so they've got to supplement it somehow, I think. So SB 1070, Joe at the diner, he's going to call and get you to show your papers, and if you can't show your papers and you're a little too tan, not blonde enough, then you may have cause to be interrogated for an indefinite amount of time until you can produce such sufficient amount of papers that you will be released on your own reconnaissance. Probably give you some sort of ticket or some sort of harassment, you know, check in with your probate officer for eating while being brownish. It's almost impossible for this not to be racism, or for this to be a situation where people will be singled out in Arizona for being Latino or Black or maybe Asian heritage, perhaps even Native American, because they don't resemble anyone who is quote-unquote passes for white. And those are the only people who don't necessarily get bothered. If you don't have an accent, noticeable accent, then you're not going to get bothered. Everybody else is going to get some kind of a trouble. I don't know, it's tough for me to say. I don't want to be in Arizona. You know, I would like to be a comfort to my family in Texas. I would like to help them. You know, I would like for them to feel safe in their own communities and not feel like the police are out to get them for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, it's a tough society when the roles become perverse. You know, I didn't always feel this way about police. I didn't always feel like the police are an extension of the surveillance state or an extension of the military. You know, I didn't always feel that way because it wasn't always true. I didn't always think that they were always looking for something that I was doing wrong. I thought that they were looking out for me in case something happened, in case something did go wrong. And by and large, the law enforcement officers out there, that's their aim. That's what they signed up for. That's why they went to school. That's what they're doing. But more and more, there may be a precedent. There might be more pressure. There might be additional laws and procedures and trainings and technologies that force them into this statist role where they are cramming this totalitarian agenda on us. And I would say that there is a certain faction of the police and of the military who do not agree. I don't speak for them directly, but I know they're there. Some of them are called Oath Keepers. Some of them are Iraq Veterans Against the War, Courage to Resist. Plenty of veterans groups who don't agree with our foreign policy. And it's not necessarily a partisan game either. You know, Democrats are hands are just as fouled and dirty. And I think everybody can see that as Bush's Republicans back in 2006 and 2007. They're the same people. You know, they didn't really flush the swamp there. They kept and hung on to all the same people and all the same policies. So we've got a deeper rut We're deeper in the furrows than we used to be. This wasn't intended to be a state of the nation, but SB 1070 is an important decision because what it's going to do is allow states who benefit from racism in a pragmatic way through the prison system to continue that trajectory, but to find themselves a secondary class of prison labor. And so the new challenge will be to stay out of the lines of people whom you cannot prove yourself to on a daily basis. Oh, I know that girl over there. She told me she was a citizen last week. Well, she's not really a citizen. She ain't from here. And that's going to create a bunch of problems. And people who feel powerless and are jerks and control freaks themselves will do amazingly immoral things to hurt other people in this way. They'll tell lies to the authorities. I'm sure maybe you've heard about the incidents of swatting. That's where you report some kind of massive terror-based violation that somebody is doing something at a certain address, and you use a certain code word or something like that, and then a SWAT team of about 16, you know, paramilitary soldiers break down your door with a barricade and bring in dogs and maybe shoot your pets, and then everybody finds out it's an accident later, and it's a great big militarized joke for somebody, but not for the people on the receiving end. So don't do that. Don't be the jerk capitalizing on the surveillance state because we're turning into the new Stasi. Don't do that. Not today. It's also still really illegal to do that, but people have been doing it just to get back at bloggers and people who speak out. Speaking out has in fact become a new crime, new brand of crime. Otherwise, Julian Assange would not be in the hot mess he is in. Julian Assange is, you know, he's taking it on the chin like a real trooper. He's really impressed me with the amount of resilience he's had and his resourcefulness as a reporter and just as a surviving human being. So you have my full applause, Mr. Assange, for staying out of the clutches of the American government, for reporting the news, for Christ's sakes. You know, and since when does anyone in our news media feel like they can score extra points if they issue death threats on somebody else for reporting news or revealing truths about something? You know, it's my position to this day that we don't have the right to go and assault journalists for being journalists. We don't have the right to fingerprint them and take their badges and tell the police they get to be censors and tell them who can report and who can't report, who will and won't be there, based on who owns the property. That's not the role of the United States military or the police. Okay, even though they're being integrated and commuddled right now, you know, just so you have a frame of reference, I saw a bear cat for the first time in my neighborhood. It is a new day in hell because Bearcats are military vehicles. I mean, I flipped out the first time I saw a commercialized Humvee, but it was nothing like the day I saw a Bearcat armored car on my walk home. New day. You have my full apology for not being on the mic these last few months. A terrible lot has transpired. Terrible lot. You know, the drones can pick up the Wi-Fi. They can follow your vehicles. They can do just about anything. Anything that you have a nightmare about in terms of surveillance, they can do it. But just because they have the technology doesn't mean that you can't fight it. You can go to your city hall, you can go to your police department, and you can ask them if they're going to get drones. What kind of drones are you going to get? And if you get those drones, if they are thinking about getting those drones, they have to tell you, because that comes in your purview as a citizen. You can say something to them about it. They may make it sound like you can't say anything. They might try to discourage you in some way, like, oh, there's, you know, it's already a done deal. You can't really, No. You always can speak up. You can always say something. You can always use your 2 minutes in public input to say anything you need to say. I have close to 25 minutes of talk time here, and the only thing I really want to say to the Bellevue City Hall is that I am not grateful for my security. I am not grateful for the Bearcat. I am not grateful for the total information awareness surveillance that is being so generously sponsored by a unanimous government of six who didn't consult the public. I guess back to SB 1070, you know, I don't want to be the one to say, don't be brown around town. That's just stupid. And with half of the population in America being not exactly Caucasian, that's going to be a tough thing. So it's going to force a racial tension and an atmospheric tension that really shouldn't be there. It should have been mitigated a long time ago. I thought we were making a lot more progress in our society. More or less, everyone's a minority, so it's equal now, because even the Caucasian folks are considered a minority because they're not the majority. So everybody's a minority. So for the first, like, for about 10 seconds here, we had a very brief window in American history, maybe, where everyone in America was about the same. We all were being challenged with our racial entitlements. But, you know, I think that's all a load of crap anyway. Because, let's just put it in context of something else. Entirely. If a bunch of aliens landed on our planet tomorrow. Let's just say that happened. They just decided to dodge the UN government and violate and trespass the hell all over everything and say, hey, screw all y'all, we're taking this planet. They just started hopping on roofs and, you know, driving away with your cars, and it'd be kind of a new dynamic. There'd be a new other, wouldn't there? Wouldn't necessarily be the people in humanity. We'd probably have to unite, as the great Ron Reagan has said in the past. You know, but why does it have to take that? Why can't we just give up and stop dehumanizing each other for pay, or so we can steal someone else's mate, or take their resources or their food? I don't know what the incentive is in chronically dehumanizing another subset of people to get ahead. There is this myth out there in humanity. It's a spiritual problem we have, where we must suppress one group of people or another person. It doesn't even matter if it's even in your own household. There's this mandatory pecking order where someone must be down in order for someone else to be up. And it doesn't necessarily have to be so. I mean, there is a order of things. There's always going to be a political order of things, but the problem with Godzilla government is that it's immoderate. It's not sane at all, it doesn't retain any of its salt, and everyone is abused, everyone has lost their rights, except for an insane person running around blowing up everything. And that's what we've become. So I'm gonna leave it there and say that SB 1070 is Godzilla government. It is gonna burn the hell out of a lot of people. It is gonna create a papers, please state. It's going to usher in the Stasi totalitarianism that we've deferred for so many years since 2005. You know, what can I say? The enemy is upon us, and it is up to you as individuals to protect yourself at this point. Be about the business of your own liberty. Take it seriously. You know, it's not really about race anymore. It's about making sure that you're free yourself. So be about the business of staying free.